Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. Well, this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, I pray now that you'll bless as your word goes forth. Let it find fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people, that we would be more than just hearers of your word. Help us to be doers as well, so that we can walk beyond potential and into the fulfillment of our purpose. Have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was called the Kellogg-Briand Pact. It was signed in August of 1928. It was celebrated as the most significant international event regarding war up to that time. 15 countries were the initial signers of that pact, including the United States, Germany, France, Great Britain, Italy, and 60 countries would later join in this pact. And the condition was basically this: let's agree to outlaw war. Now remember, this is 1928. So the war, the Great War that had occurred, which was later called the First World War, it was a fear that, man, if we don't stop this escalation of warfare, we'll destroy the world. So they came together and signed this pact, this commitment to peace. And there was a great celebration around it. It was celebrated internationally. It was hailed as a monument of achievement in diplomacy. The signing nations agreed to renounce war, that they would not use war as an instrument of national policy, and they would settle all disputes by peaceful means. The public was excited. We would no longer have parents burying their children, no longer have innocent people killed at what appeared to be a whim. Here's the problem. As great an idea as that was, and as widespread as the celebration was, wars broke out in 1928, the same year it was signed. As a matter of fact, when you look at our history, hundreds of wars have broken out since it was signed in 1928. Now, let me just give you a couple of examples so you'll understand how widespread this is. In 1931, just 3 years later, Japan invaded China. In 1935, Italy, one of the signers of the pact, invaded Ethiopia. In 1939, Germany, one of the signers of the pact, invaded Poland, which became the start to World War II. Now, here's the question. How could something so celebrated fail so quickly? And here's the answer. Celebration was not enough. While everybody was celebrating, there was no teeth put in the agreement to make sure there was a commitment to do what they celebrated they would do. There were no repercussions. There was nothing to keep people from going back and doing what they had been doing. Somebody, I know you're asking the question now. Wait a minute, Pastor, we're here for Palm Sunday. What does that have to do with Jesus coming in? I'm glad you asked. See, the reason I bring this up is because what happened at the Kellogg-Briand Pact and that great celebration is not too different from what Jesus experienced when he came in Jerusalem. There was a great celebration, y'all. The Parks Department in Jerusalem was upset because folk were pulling palm branches off of trees, damaging the vegetation. They were throwing coats out. They were celebrating, shouting, "Here comes the King. Hosanna in the highest." But it wasn't long after the shouts of Hosanna that there would be people who would cry out, "Crucify him." And here's what we need to understand. A celebration on Sunday is not enough when there's no commitment on Monday. See, too many of us, we come to church and we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate what God has done in our lives. We want to celebrate the goodness of God. And I'm here to tell you, all of that celebration doesn't mean a thing if there's no commitment. I was going to say nothing, but it was a double negative. Y'all, come on up out of the gutter, y'all. It was a double negative. I didn't want to. Here's what I need you to understand. God is looking for more than just celebration. God is looking for more than just you showing up at church shouting. You praising, you getting your emotional fix. God is concerned about more than just you coming every week, week after week, leaving, looking to feel good and blaming somebody else when you don't feel something. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to move from celebration to commitment. How to move from celebration to commitment. See, I want to argue today that Palm Sunday is one of the most dangerous moments in the Bible. Because if you're not careful, you will use that moment and make it prescriptive without understanding that if you stay there, you can't get where God ultimately wants you to be. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. And if you're watching today, wherever you are, download our church app and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline there or go to our website, goodhope.org. How do you move from celebration to commitment? How do you move from praise to purpose? How do you move from Hosanna on Sunday to holy living the rest of your life? Three things I want to share with you real quick. Now, remember, just in the sense of context, Jesus is arriving into Jerusalem to begin the last week of his life. We called it Palm Sunday, but it wasn't called Palm Sunday on that Sunday. It was just Sunday. And he's moving into the last week of his life at the start of what we call now Holy Week. He was claiming to be king, but the crowd didn't realize that the throne he wanted to occupy was not the throne that was held by Caesar. He was trying to take over the throne that was held by us. Because Jesus was not concerned about the political rules and rumors of the world. Jesus did not come to affirm the Roman Empire, and he did not come to destroy the Roman Empire. He came not to be the king of a throne on earth. He came to be the king of our hearts. And so when Jesus comes, he comes saying, listen, I'm here to make a difference, but I want to make a difference beyond time. I want to make a difference in eternity. And it can only happen when I change your heart. Here's the first thing I want you to see if you're going to move from celebration to commitment. Number one, you must move from emotion to understanding. You must move from emotion to understanding. The Bible says down in verse 37, when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. I want you to underline that phrase, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. Those of you who have been to Jerusalem, that Mount of Olives, if you've been there on a trip that I've been on, is that place where we typically take that picturesque picture with the Dome of the Rock behind us and the old city of Jerusalem. That area with all of those olive trees, even today, was called the Mount of Olives. And if you walk down that path from the Mount of Olives and you were walking over to the old city, you would go down the hill into the old city. It's interesting because the gate that Jesus entered into, they have sealed. And the reason they have sealed the gate, true story, they have sealed the gate because the path that he took into the city, when he comes back, they don't want to be able him to be able to come in that same gate. Like a gate's going to hold him out. When they come down the hill, his followers are celebrating. They are shouting, and watch what the text says. They are praising God for all of the miracles they have seen. So they have a reason to shout. They have a reason to be emotional, but they have emotion without understanding. They're rejoicing in what God has done, but they don't realize why Jesus has come. And they don't realize that what he has done has just served as a validation for who he is and what he wants to do in them, to them, and through them. My brothers and my sisters, here's what I need you to understand. Emotion without understanding is dangerous. See, there are people who come to church. I'm not talking about you, but maybe the person next to you. They come to church looking for an emotional fix. They want to feel good, right? I've had people say to me, you know, Pastor, man, you know, you too deep for me. You too deep for me, you know. And I understand because you have to be at a certain cerebral level to be a part of Good Hope, right? Because I'm not going to insult you with ignorance. And I expect you to use your brain when you come to church, right? So we're not just running and just shouting and dancing and singing, and we don't know what we're running, dancing, singing, and shouting about. Somebody say amen. I'm not saying we're better than anybody else. I'm just saying that's our vibe, that's our flavor, and I'm okay with that. Here's what I've learned. People will shout without understanding. They'll bring their emotions without bringing their intellect. And if you are going to move from celebration to commitment, you've got to bring your intellect with your emotions. You've got to understand what it is that the Lord wants from you. It doesn't matter how much you cheer. What matters is how you're going to live after you leave. I'm at a point now, and it's a great place to be. Calvin and Alyssa, you know, Brandon, you know, when he came here, he was a little boy, so I used to take him places. Now he calls me, asks me if I want to go someplace. So he called me the other day, and he said, Pop, he said, man, what you got going on tomorrow? And I said, well, not anything really. I said, what's up? Man, let's go to the baseball game. So I said, the baseball game? Man, I ain't been to a baseball game in years, y'all. He said, let's go to a baseball game. It's opening day. Opening day. Now, y'all, I have this thing. I don't really like a lot of crowds, especially people I don't know. And then, you know, those are mini seats in many of those arenas. You know, they're not Big Brother seats, and they're not long leg seats. You know what I mean? So I just choose not to go somewhere where I'm going to be uncomfortable for 3 to 4 hours, because I can stay at home, watch on my television, no line at the bathroom, eat what I want to eat when I want to eat. You understand what I'm saying? And so I was like, well, man. And he said, oh, by the way, we got tickets in a suite. I said, oh, look at God. Look at God. Answered my prayer before I prayed it. You know what I'm saying? So I told him, I said, all right, cool, yeah, we go, yeah, you got tickets to the suite, yeah, let me go on and, you know, do that Astros thing, you know what I mean? So I told him beforehand, I said, well, man, let's get something to eat, because, you know, man, they probably got popcorn, you know, nachos, you know what I mean, some sodas, Because I'm used to going to poor man suites. You know what I mean? Man, we walk up in there, they had brisket, hot dogs, hamburgers, barbecue. I'm like, I like this kind of party. Yes. The suite was an event in and of itself. I ain't care who won. I'm good. Sat out of the chair. The chair was comfortable. No line at the bathroom. I'm like, man, yes. When are we going back? But guess what? With all that good time I had and all that celebration, I never played in the game. I never got on the field. And when it was over, all I did was leave. Shame on us when we come to church and we celebrate and never get in the game. Somebody ought to hear me in here. See, here's the question that I want to ask you. While we celebrate and we wave our palms, do you understand who Jesus really is? And are you following the Jesus of Scripture, or are you following the Jesus who tickles your emotions and meets your expectations? Because for too many of us, Jesus is simply our cosmic concierge to give us what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. And we fail to realize that God has an expectation of us. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. See, Paul says you can be excited about God and still not be aligned with God. Colossians 1, 9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Write this down somewhere. It's hard to walk right when you don't know right. It's hard to walk right when you don't know right. See, emotion can start your relationship with God, but only understanding will sustain your walk with God. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must move from expression to submission. If you're going to move from celebration to commitment, you not only must move from emotion to understanding, but number two, you must move from expression to submission. Watch what the text says. Let's go to verse 31. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. Here comes Jesus. His disciples are recognizing this special moment, and they acknowledge his claim by three simple acts. They obeyed his instructions. They used their garments as a saddle, and they set Jesus on the colt. Here's the point. Jesus accepted what they offered because he knew, listen carefully, in order for them to move from celebration to commitment, it had to move beyond what they said. It had to move to what they were willing to do. You must do more than just talk. There was an old song some years ago, said, talking loud, saying nothing, right? Somebody else said, talk is cheap. And a whole lot of people know how to talk it before they walk it. And here's what Jesus wants to know. Are you willing to not just give him a verbal expression, but are you willing to give him a physical submission? See, Jesus understands it's possible to give him Sunday, and still not put them on your schedule. Somebody in here, you give him your praise, but you haven't made serving him your priority. That's why you think so much and so highly of coming on Sunday, because that's all you give him. And you don't realize that if all you give him is Sunday, what's going on the other 6 days of the week? So here's the question. What area of your life is still under your control and not under his control? What have you celebrated Jesus for? And what have you failed to surrender to Jesus? See, you celebrate the stuff, but you got to surrender the person. And typically, we are quicker to celebrate than we are to submit. So you give him praise, but the Lord says, where's your possessions? Where's your person? You celebrate him in the sanctuary, but you don't submit to him on the street. You act Christian in here, but are you a Christian out there? I know that's too convicting. Let's move on. Look at Luke 6:46. Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? John 14:15, let's read it together. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, expression without obedience is a contradiction. Love is not proven by what you say. Love is proven by what you do. And you can say he's Lord all day long, but will he become the Lord that you obey in your day-to-day living? Here's the third and final thing I want you to see. Number three, you must move from moment to lifestyle. If you're going to move from celebration to commitment, you must move from a moment to a lifestyle. It's a moment, y'all. It's a moment. Jesus is coming in and they're waving palm branches. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Man, they party. And watch this. There's some folk who know what's going on. And I'm sure there were some folk who were just waving palms who had no idea. Somebody said, what's this about? I don't know, but it sure is fun. You, come on, y'all know how we do stuff, right? I just the other day, there was a party that was done by our neighbor over here. It was a Christmas party, I believe it was. And was it Christmas? What was it? No, the Christmas party. It was the Christmas party when I went to. And I was at the Christmas party, and so I'm waiting to meet Brandon and Marcus because they were going to come over to the Christmas party. It was a block party, right? And I'm standing there, and one of the people who lives on the other side of the bayou came up, him and his wife. And I said, oh, man, y'all know who's? He said, no, we don't know who's having the party. I said, what y'all doing over here? I said, oh, we just crashing. We just saw the lights. Looked like fun. Watch this. There's a moment. Jesus comes in to Jerusalem. There's a moment where prophecy is fulfilled. There's a moment where it's hallelujah, good time. But the moment can't become a movement without commitment. Stay with me. Watch what Jesus says. Verse 39. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Jesus says the rocks would cry out. The witness to who I am is so great that if they kept quiet, nature would clear its voice and begin a song in harmony about who I am. Now watch what the text says. Verse 41, but as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. He comes now into Jerusalem, he weeps, and the text says, how I wish today, Jesus is speaking, that you of all people would understand the way to peace. Even those who participated in the moment didn't understand that it was a precursor to a movement. And so the moment was lost and it was never internalized to become a lifestyle. My brothers and sisters, here's what I need you to understand. The crowd that praised him all didn't follow him. They had a moment of praise, but some of them missed a lifestyle of purpose. Praise is popular, but purpose is powerful. And somebody today, in the midst of this celebration of the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem and celebrating the fact that the Lord has come into your life, I want you to understand that Palm Sunday was a spark, but the commitment is a fire. Are you consistent when the crowd is gone? Are you living the lifestyle that God wants you to live when you leave the crowd? Because if your best acts of Christianity are limited to 2 hours a week when you come to church, and you got 6 more days and 166 more hours, God says, don't sell yourself short by simply celebrating on Sunday, and we can't see what your faith looks like on Monday. Look at Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross weekly and follow me. That's not what the scripture says. That's just how you live. I'm sorry. Take up his cross Sunday morning and follow. No, he says, take up your cross daily. Shame on you. You read your horoscope daily, but you don't take up his cross daily. You won't gossip daily. You gonna scroll daily. You got a IG and X and all of the other platforms daily. And Jesus says, you got to take up your cross daily. And if your hands are full, maybe you need to put some stuff down so you can pick up the cross daily. Because watch this, following Jesus is not a worship event, it's a worship lifestyle. It's not about how loud you are on Sunday. It's about how you live every day of your life. And following Jesus doesn't happen weekly. It happens daily. Look at Colossians 3:17. Let's read it together. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Commitment moves from what you do on Sunday to what you do every day. If your faith only shows up in moments, it will never shape your lifestyle. Celebration is what you do when you feel something. Listen, celebration is what you do when you feel something, but commitment is what you do when you decide something. And until your faith moves from feeling to decision, you will always have moments, but never transformation. And what a tragedy that so many of us live moment from moment to moment and never move from moment to movement. They celebrated him on Sunday. They shouted Hosanna, but they still hadn't surrendered their hearts. And Jesus is still asking today, will you just celebrate me on one day? Oh, you live for me every day. You see, you can shout and still not submit. You can praise and still not fulfill your potential. You can celebrate and still not serve. You can wave palms and still walk away without a purpose. You can lift your hands and still hold back your heart. But if he's worthy of your praise, he's worthy of your person. If he's worthy of your celebration, he's worthy of the total commitment of your life. Celebration without commitment produces shallow faith, but commitment rooted in true understanding produces lasting change. And because he's the King of Kings, are you willing to make him the Lord of your life? Because he doesn't deserve just a moment. He deserves all of your life. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless you for today. I pray now that everything that has been said and done has been pleasing in your sight. For those who tuned in, for those who came wanting to celebrate you coming in, you've been coming in for over 2,000 years, Lord. Challenge today is how we're going to live when we leave the celebration. We come to the party, but are we going to leave living on purpose? And my prayer is today, God, that you would help us to move beyond just the show and embrace the substance so that we can experience all you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As Reverend Bell comes for the invitation, I want to tell you something that was interesting. As I was preparing for today's message, I began searching and I was Googling celebrations without commitment. How many times we celebrate things but don't make a commitment, and so what the original celebration was intended for doesn't come to pass. Kind of like the Kellogg-Briand pack, right? And you know the number one examples they came up with? Marriage. Number one examples they came up with over and over again. People who celebrate the wedding and don't realize the celebration of a wedding is far different than the commitment of a marriage. Ooh, let me help somebody right quick. When you're dealing with, for example, that Cinderella syndrome, you know, and you know, the horse-drawn carriage and the whole thing, right? And it's your day, because ladies, it's your day, right? And people celebrate the wedding. Celebrate the wedding. But you got to have commitment to be married. And some people want the wedding and don't want to be a wife. Y'all do know it's different. Why y'all? Mic check. One, two. Mic. No. You want to be validated by the wedding. But do you want to be a wife? Because there's a difference. Right? So, friend of mine, we were at a convention, man. We was hanging out and met this sister there, and two of them connected, man, and they were thick as thieves the whole convention, right? It's like, man, he really likes her. She really likes him, you know. A year later, I get a message that they're getting married. So I'm like, wow. Now, she came from some money, you know. So, like, they had budgeted, like, $50,000, $100,000 for the wedding, right? Family gave her a Mercedes convertible as a gift for a wedding, right? Fanciest hotel in Chicago on Lake Michigan. That's where they had the reception. 200 people, sit down dinner. And I mean, they're writing checks. And man, I'm like, boy, this is some kind of wedding. And man, it was just a great celebration. So me and my play sister, we're standing next to each other because we're all friends. And he comes up and says, yeah, look at her. She over there thinks she's running something. And we looked at each other like, huh? Because I'm thinking she is running something. It's her wedding. Like, yeah, her mama, they think they're going to run stuff around. I got news for them when this is over. I said, whoa. So he walked away. I see y'all later. I looked at my play sister. I said, 6 months. He said, 6 months. I said, it ain't going to last 6 months. If he got that attitude, ain't going to last 6 months. It was about 6 months. Her family came out there, drove the car back with her. Get your stuff. Whatever you can't fit in here, leave it. We'll buy some more. Because there was a celebration, but there was no commitment. You become what you are committed to. You become what you are committed to. And if you're committed to nothing, that's about where you're going to end up. Because you become what you're committed to. I want to encourage somebody today to make a commitment to Jesus. Don't just be in the crowd hollering Hosanna. And God wants so much more from you. Because God has given so much more for you. Everybody who can, stand on your feet wherever you are. If you're watching today, wherever you are, there's a QR code that's coming up on the screen. And that QR code is a quick link. If you want to know how to ask Jesus Christ into your life, you want to make it real, you want to move beyond the emotion, beyond the celebration, beyond the party, to allow God to help you discover and walk in your purpose. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to be. Let me say this to you who are watching and all of you who are present. Man, we are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. The wonderful thing about God is he'll meet you where you are, but he won't leave you there. He'll make something beautiful out of your life if you give him your permission and if you're willing to participate. You can find that information on the link. For those of you who are here in the sanctuary, upstairs or down to my left or to my right, I want to invite you to come right now. The men and women who are coming forward right now would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. Would love to pray with you, pray for you. If you're looking for a church home, come on and come. We're not perfect, y'all, but we're going to help you become the best you can be to the glory of God. And we're not going to leave here coming here shouting and then leaving here without a purpose in our lives, because I want you to walk in who God created you to be. No greater joy than fulfilling your purpose in God. Come on and come right now. As Elder Taylor sings, come on and come.
I surrender all to you.
Come on, everything.
Everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Sing it to the Lord today.
I surrender.
Tell the Lord, Lord, I surrender all to you.
To you.
My mind, my body, my soul, my strength.
Everything.
Everything.
I give to you.
Who I am, what I have,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing.
Come on, I give you what?
I give you all of me.
Come on, tell the Lord, I give you all of me.
I give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
You know, that there's a universal sign I don't care what language you speak. When you surrender or you give up, what's that sign? Yeah, you raise both hands. You make sure that they see it. So I give up. And I want to encourage somebody, as we sing this today, just lift your hands to God and just tell God, God, I give up, man. I'm giving up. I'm not fighting you anymore. I'm not trying to hold on. I'm not trying to handle stuff on my own. God, I'm surrendering to you. The stuff that's causing me stress, the stuff that's causing me to lose sleep, the stuff that's causing me to go left when I should go right. God, I surrender. I'm giving you all of me. Sing, Elder. Come on. Come on.
I give you all of me. 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 King Jesus, my Savior,
else. Maybe the Spirit of God has moved on your heart right now. As Pastor Bell comes, don't wait, don't tarry, dialogue or debate with the devil. Come on and say yes to God. One of the things that I've learned in life, sometimes God will just let some things happen in life to let you know that you need somebody bigger than you are to help you handle life. Yeah, you get beside yourself and you think, I got it. And God says, no, you don't have it. You don't have it. But God says, I got you. We're going to sing it one more time.
I give you all of me. I give you all of me. Give you all of me. I give you all of me.
The call is still there. The call is still there to come. Give God all of you. You know for yourself that you've been holding something back. You know that you've been keeping something in your back pocket. You ain't been giving it all to Him. Today is the day to do that. Don't let this moment pass. If you don't want to come by yourself, just tell your neighbor, hey, I want to go, but will you walk with me? And we'll walk with you down. You're not on this journey by yourself. God is waiting on you. He's with you. So don't leave today saying, oh, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. No, you can do it right now. God has given you every opportunity right now. Today is the day. Today is the day. You can use the QR code if you don't want to come down. You can use it on your handout or use it on the screen. But today is the day you got to surrender, because God has given you another chance, given you another opportunity. Seize the moment. Tomorrow is not promised. We extend to you again. Come, 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 come just as you are.
Oh, I surrender all.
Yes, surrender all.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender.
Speaking.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Let's stretch out your hands for our sister that has come. God, we come right now at this tender moment, Lord. Hearts are still debating. Minds are still twirling it around, Lord, and we know that this is a sensitive time, so we come lifting it up to you and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move right now, Lord, according to your will. We lift up our sister to you right now, Lord, that has come, and wherever her need is, Lord, we pray that you meet it according to your will. Then, Lord, help us to help her to be all that you have designed her to be. Thank you for this word today, Lord, that challenges us. Thank you for this word that reminds us of the commitment that you are calling all of us to do, because your Son committed all for us. And you're asking us just to commit to walk in his will and his way. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he hung, bled, and died. And that we have a chance today, Lord, to surrender all of ourselves to you. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, let's praise God for our sister. You may be seated. All right, let's thank God for that convicting message by our senior pastor. Yeah, I know he was cutting some of us, and we still trying to patch it up. But that was a message that we all needed to hear. God is looking for us to commit our will and our way. If we say that we're a believer, act like it. Amen, amen, amen. All right, church family, it is time now for the offering. I'm going to ask our deacons to prepare now for the offering. All right, well, I know y'all still trying to take that message in, but we're going to try that one more time.